What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you're tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys again for tuning in. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. Follow my man, Ben Shim, behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery at I Am Database, based with two S's. You can follow us as a unit at That's Kinda Neat. YouTube.com/That's Kinda Neat, where you're going to see our guest today, Father, perform Young Hot Ebony. I'm excited about this. The Young Hot Ebony tape is one of my favorite of the year, and hopefully it's something new for a lot of you guys. I'm heavily fucking with the tape, and I suggest that you go listen to it. It's a lot of fun. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/kindaneat. Everything wrapped up in a pretty package at kindaneat.net, where you can listen to the podcast or see the videos. And don't forget to subscribe. Download that podcast app. Search for Kinda Neat. Hit the subscribe button. It will make your life so much easier. You can stream it from your phone in the car. It's amazing, amazing, amazing. We took a week off, and the last one that we put out was with Dom, my homie Dom Cooley, and that one went well. That was the most liked on Facebook ever. I feel on our page, like the little social media things. A lot of you guys must have listened to it, and we appreciate that. He's got a lot of positive feedback, and people were very excited and emotionally touched by the story of his son. And so thank you guys for tuning into that one. It was great. With that being said, I haven't done one of these in like quite a while now. It's been about 2 weeks. Maybe because we did some backed up. So things that have happened since then. One, I had a show and some of you guys showed up. I'm going to be honest. It wasn't my most packed show. Since we've been throwing shows for the last 2 years, since I decided like I don't want to open for people anymore and I'm going to throw my own shows, I'm going to be honest. This was the least packed of them. And I feel like most rappers will try to hype themselves up and be like, oh my God, it was so cracking. It was the craziest shit. I'm real. About 150 of you guys showed up, and that's a great amount of fucking people. Like, I'm so happy that 150 of you guys showed up. In a room full of 300, it feels empty. So I got to really go off on that show, and I just told stories. I made it like kind of a behind the music, and it was a lot of fun. I got to just sit there and talk to people, and it felt like having a show in front of family. And when that happens, I'm very grateful. And the two opening acts, Johnny Polygon and our secret surprise opener was Nilo, they both killed it, and it was so great. And shout outs to Caleb Stone and Dream Panther, who also showed up and did sets. It was a lot of fun. I had a blast with you guys. So thank you so much if you came to that show. What else? Oh, I was raising money for Alzheimer's, and we ended up raising about $2,500, which is about halfway through to my goal. I've set a goal. It was my first time ever trying to raise money, and I'm like, let's set a goal of $5,000 and see if we could do it. And we got to $2,500. That's only halfway, but I'm going to look at it as the cup is half full. The cup is definitely half full. We got halfway to raising $5,000. $2,500 for Alzheimer's research is amazing. Thank you guys so much for doing that. And I went to the walk and I met up with some friends. One of my friends, shout out to Max, his father also had Alzheimer's, and we relate through that. And it was great to see, like, I think there's like 2,000 people out there walking for Alzheimer's. Is a very beautiful thing. So one of the stories that I told while I was at the show, speaking of Alzheimer's, was about my parents coming to visit, because as you guys know, a few weeks ago I put out the podcast with my mom. So they were in town, and the first day that they got in town, we decided to go to the beach. It was in the middle of October, and it was still really fucking hot. And as you guys know, if you live in Los Angeles, it's been really hot anyways. If you live in Southern California, it's been really hot still, even in the middle of November. It's like in the mid 80s. So it's crazy right now. So I told my mom the day that they were about to fly out, I'm like, pack your swimsuit, pack dad's trunks in your carry-on bags. And what we'll do is just go straight from the airport to the beach. And she's like, I don't want to go straight there. Can we come to your house first? I said, okay, cool. So they come to the house when they land. She has a rental car. So they drive over, and we're telling my dad like, hey, Dad, we're going to go to the beach, you know, so let's put these shorts on and we'll go to the beach. And he's like pretty grumpy. He's like, why are we going to the beach? I don't want to fucking go to the beach. He's grumpy because he's 6'7", and so he's really tall. And if you guys have ever flown before, you know that planes aren't really even accommodating to the average size person. Like, I'm only 6 foot, but I get on a plane and my legs are uncomfortable as shit. So now imagine being half a foot taller than that, being 6'7", and trying to sleep on a fucking plane. It's damn near impossible. So this is a 60-year-old dude who struggles with Alzheimer's disease and who also is tall as shit and can't sleep. So not only is he exhausted, but he's confused and exhausted. So it makes him grumpy. That's what happens. You know, like oftentimes people with Alzheimer's get grumpy about shit. And so I'm telling him like, hey, no, Dad, it's cool. Like, we're just going to go to the beach. It's really nice out and it'll be nice. We'll get in the water. We're going to go have breakfast first and then we'll chill at the beach. It'll be great. Fine. He puts his trunks on. We go eat breakfast. And I kind of alluded to this story in the podcast with Dom, but like we're sitting at this place and we get breakfast and the lady who's taking our order, I'm like ordering for my dad. And she goes, oh, you're kind of bossy, huh? Ordering for the whole table. And I wanted to just look at her and be like, hey, lady, like chill the fuck out. I don't think you understand the levity of the situation. I'm ordering for him because he doesn't remember what is on the menu. So mind your own business. But I had to just be like, you know, play it off. Be like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm bossy. It is what it is. But, you know, these are things that you have to do sometimes. And so we end up going to the beach after we go to breakfast and it's a beautiful day. It was actually really crazy. At one point, some fog rolled in for 2 hours. It was the thickest fog I've ever seen. You couldn't even see from, if you were 50 yards out in the water, you wouldn't be able to see the sand. It got so fucking foggy, but yet it was like, it was still like 85, 90 degrees at the beach, but it was just foggy as shit. And so the thing about my dad and the beach that I didn't know, and my mom knew this because she took him to Hawaii and this same thing happened, but he is apparently very, very drawn to the water. Like he wanted to be in the water the whole time. And so I had to accommodate and we were in the water the whole time. Like we were at the beach probably for 5 hours and I would say we spent at least four of them in the water. And, it was crazy because the waves were fucking cranking. Like the waves were huge. And it was breaking all the way down the coast. I was hearing from my friends in San Diego that there was huge waves. People in Santa Barbara were saying there's huge waves. And so at Manhattan Beach, it was no different. There was a bunch of fucking waves. And I keep seeing my dad like get hit by these waves and like tumbling and going over. Like he's not used to being in waves, you know. I think he's still good. He's still very proficient at swimming in a pool. But I don't think that waves are something he's dealing with constantly. So I'm thinking like, oh shit, I'm going to have to like swim this 6'7" son of a bitch out of the water once he gets hit with a wave or something. But every time I would see him go under, he would pop back up, cracking up, like just like, oh man, did you see that? I went totally under. Did you go under? You know, like very happy, like very, man, happier than I've ever seen him. Here's the thing about my dad is that he is a very serious man. I don't remember him with a lot of happy times. Like he's a very serious person when he was a joker. Don't get me wrong, around his buddies, he was a smart ass and a joker. And I think I kind of get that from him as well. But with us as a disciplinarian, like he was a serious person and he wasn't a super sympathetic person because he worked at a hospital. So he had to be around sick people that wanted sympathy all day. So with my brother and I, it's like, oh, we're not getting any fucking sympathy unless we're either like a broken limb or like we're dying or something. Like this is a man who literally stitched my brother up at home multiple times when he would cut himself. So to see him happy with us was kind of a rarity because he's a serious person. So I'm seeing my dad in the ocean, maybe the happiest I've ever seen him, definitely the happiest I've ever seen him in recent memory. And at one point I'd tell him like, hey, you know, let's go sit next to mom for a little bit. And the funny thing, he kept going, hey, where's Karen at? Karen's my mom. Where's Karen at? And I said, oh, she's sitting over the beach. And he goes, oh, she gave up already? And I'm like, nah, she never came in with us. And he would be like, oh, she never even came in? What a wuss. And so then like a few minutes later, he would be like, hey, where's Karen at anyways? And I said, oh, she's over on the beach. Oh, she went in? Like he would repeat himself. Like that's what he does. And I have to, you have to kind of pretend every time that like, it's the first time you're telling him that, or else it can be disturbing to them. So anyway, I say, hey, let's go sit next to mom and just chill out. Cause we'd already been in the water for like an hour. I was getting tired. And he's like, oh, all right, why do we got to sit here? And I'm like, oh, fuck. All right, fine. And so we go sit down. I lay down for a little bit and my mom's kind of like taking a nap and I start to like close my eyes and I'm sitting there for maybe 15 minutes with my eyes closed when I look up and he's gone. I don't know where the fuck my dad is. And I'm like, oh shit. And I look up and I'd say, I go, where's dad, mom? And she's like, what, where is he? She panics. And then I look and fortunately the fog had blown over at that point. So I'm able to see like, he's only just right in the water at the edge. But the point is like, he was so drawn to the water that he didn't want to sit with us. He's like, I want to go get back in the fucking water. And I was like, all right, look, I'll go back with him and I'll hang out. And, so we went back in the water and I said, hey, you want to just walk down the shore for a while? So we walked way down the shore. Like we probably walked about a good three quarters of a mile and then walked another three quarters of a mile back and then got back in the water and stayed in the water. And the point of this whole story of us swimming and shit is like, he was very happy, like I said. And at one point he goes, you know, he points at these houses in Manhattan Beach. I wouldn't mind living in one of those. And he points at these beachside mansions that are huge, like, you know, multi-million, like at least $4 to $7 million houses. And he goes, I wouldn't mind living in one of those. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, you wouldn't mind. I'm like, and anybody would want to live in one of those. Like, those are amazing houses. He goes, yeah, no, those are great. I said, oh, yeah, how would you pay for those? And he goes, you know, I'd probably like get some sort of cart and I would just sell stuff on the beach. And I said, you would sell stuff on the beach? I'm like, what kind of stuff would you sell? And he goes, you know, you never know. And I said, you're right, Dad. You never do know. And so it was really a funny situation where I just got to see him happy. And it was refreshing. It was nice to see him that way. Because oftentimes when I see him, here's some like real inside baseball shit. When I go home to visit, it's oftentimes because my mom has to travel and she has to take a solo mission somewhere for like a conference or something like that. So I would go home and hang out. But it's to the point where, like, yeah, my dad's forgetful and stuff. He doesn't have a great short-term memory, but he does know. He still has he still realizes, like, when someone's there to watch him. And so a lot of times when I'm at home with him alone, he'll be fucking angry because he's like, why are you here? You're here to fucking babysit me? I don't need a goddamn babysitter. And I go, no, I'm just, like, coincidentally here to watch you. I try to calm it over. But that's an argument that we have to have every, like, you know, hour or so about, like, why are you here anyways? You're just here to babysit me? And I go, oh, no. So it was really nice to see my dad happy. And that is the end of that story. It was great. It was great. And now they're home and we are here today with Father, coincidentally. I didn't even think of that when I started telling this story, but we are here with a rapper named Father. He is part of a collective called Awful Media Group out of Atlanta, and they're doing really awesome shit. There's a bunch of them. There's 14 of them that he tries to briefly discuss at the end of the podcast. But the way that I found out about him is another beach story. The story that I told you guys about Speak a couple weeks ago when we went to the beach, he put me on to Father. That was like maybe 2 months ago or something. I instantly fell in love with the tape. He's got a tape out called Young Hot Ebony. It's for free, I think. If it's not, I'm sorry that I bootlegged it. It's great. It's clever. It's whimsical. I hate to say it, but it's very swaggy. Like, it's got a lot of je ne sais quoi to it. It's short, too. It's only, like, maybe a 20-minute tape, so it's kind of got a punk rock feel in its time length, and you can get through it quick, and there's a bunch, like, there's a bunch of clever hooks that you can learn the first time you hear it. And I love that. I think that when you're performing at a concert and you're playing a song in front of people who've never heard you before, if you can get them to learn a chorus the fucking first time you say it, that's amazing, because then by the second time you say it, they already know it and are chanting along. So needless to say, I'm a big fan of this record. The intro song Fake as Fuck on Young Hot Ebony has somehow become in my top 10 most played iTunes songs, which is insane. So I must have listened to that quite a bit. So we were able to link up with him because he's out here for some shows in LA. He played at Camp Flogna. Earl brought him out. The Earl and Vince Staples brought him out. He did some songs at the carnival, and he's playing Low End Theory today, if you're listening, because it's going to come out on a Wednesday. So he's playing Low End Theory today, and he played a party that the homies Adam and Romo threw, and he's just out here. He's doing it. He's moving and shaking. He kind of started getting noticed after McConan blew up, after the Drake co-sign on McConan. McConan has done a bunch of songs with Awful Media Group, and so it all kind of like became this serendipity thing where they were getting some of the publicity runoff, and they've been running with it and they're doing great. And him and his team are cool as fuck. Had a good time with this conversation, and hopefully you guys will have a good time with it too. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Father. So what's up, man? How's Snapchat going?
Oh, it's going amazing.
I see you on Twitter pumping the Snapchat. Like, hit me up.
Yeah, man. It's a great way to connect with people.
Yeah, what kind of people are you connecting with?
Everybody, man. Yeah. You know, no specifics, man. You know, everybody.
I saw a fucking great tweet you wrote the other day of like, when people say that I inspired them, I assume they're doing trifling shit. That's a fucking
Accurate.
That's a funny tweet.
It's one of those ones.
Yeah, like, for sure.
It's one of those ones you're just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that seems on point because the record is trifling, but it's amazing. I gotta say, I'm a big fan of Young Hot Ebony. The homie Speak put me up on it on a beach day one day. I feel like I emailed you guys immediately after that, like trying to make this happen because I love it. It's a great record. But first things first, like you're just starting to travel now. You're born and bred in Atlanta?
No. I'm actually born in Mississippi.
In Mississippi? Yeah. What part?
Pearl.
Where's that at?
It's Rankin County, Jackson. It's actually near Jackson. It's immediately near Jackson.
Yeah. We just had a homie on, Pell, who is from Jackson, Mississippi, I think. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. What's it like being raised there?
It's chill.
Yeah. Was it rural or is it a city?
I mean, it wasn't a big city. Yeah. It's real, you know, Taco Bell.
Yeah.
You know, shopping.
Shopping center.
Yeah. There wasn't a big mall nearby. You had to go to Jackson.
Was there streetlights?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily, you know, at least streetlights.
I'm from...
We had a theater, though.
Oh, yeah.
Theater.
But would they get the movies all late?
Some of them wouldn't come.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm from a small town, too. Yeah. And, like, I remember, actually, the day that we got a Taco Bell was when I was a sophomore in high school. And it was a big fucking deal. And me and my friends all went and, like, smoked weed. And we go there, and there's a line around the block to get into the Taco Bell. And we're, like, going, like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's go get some burritos. And then, like, all of our, like, our teachers were there and shit. Like, what are you guys doing? Anyway. Small town.
Something to celebrate.
Yeah. So was it like you grew up knowing everybody in the town, small elementary school and all that?
I mean, I usually just family mostly that I was around. Yeah. I stayed around family. I didn't really hang with, I hung with like one kid.
Yeah. What were you guys into?
Running around in the woods, jumping on mattresses and shit.
Yeah. Hey, I grew up around a lot of woods too. That's what did you guys play like a war or anything in the woods?
Yeah, there's all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah, we used to fucking have toy guns and just play hella games of war.
You know, just crawling across pipes and shit. Crawling across ravines and just doing random shit as far as they take you.
Did you grow up like fishing and shit too then?
Nah, I didn't do as much fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did it like one time. I sucked at it. And I was just like, well, I guess I need to be here.
It's kind of a boring thing.
It's boring.
It is, but it's tight. As an adult, I find myself liking it more because like, oh yeah, this is a way to like.
I still
really
want to go.
It's tight. It's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and like rafting and shit. Like, I'm gonna do some fun water. I don't do any water shit.
Yeah.
There's not really any water. And I mean, if you don't want to travel, I don't want to have to travel to water. I want to just be like right there.
There should be water right there. You know what I mean?
Like over here, there's just water.
There is. And you know what's funny though is in LA, even though we're right next to the ocean, there are mad people that either A, never go to the ocean, or kids that are raised here that have never been to the ocean.
Really?
Yeah. People sleep on the beach, man, because you live here and you get involved with doing shit and you forget to like take time. I'm very much a purveyor of like, I try to encourage people like, yo, don't forget, we live by the ocean.
Yeah.
And that shit makes you feel mad good. It feels mad good if you go jump in the fucking water.
Oh, man. You know? That's crazy. Yeah. I can't believe people would just not... That's here.
Yeah.
Everywhere I've been, I'm just like, well, I'm on land. I'm a land creature.
Yeah, yeah.
The water things. Like, every once in a while, I'd take a trip to Florida with the family.
Yeah, you guys hit L.A. on a weird time, too, where it was like, there's actually some beach days while you were here, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it was fucking hot for November. It was weird.
It is kind of crazy. I just came from New York, and I was just like, I stepped out off the plane in like all black ninja gear, hoodie, like fucking even like long johns up under the sweatpants, dying.
Just cold as shit, or what?
It was cold as shit. And it was rainy. It was kind of wet and cold. So it was like
that's the worst.
It's uncomfortable as shit.
The worst combo. What were you doing out in New York? You had shows?
No shows this time. Yeah. Just talking to some people.
Doing the cool guy meetings.
Meeting more people. And
how did that go?
Around. It was cool. It was chill.
Successful.
I enjoyed doing that more than just like every day. Just like ah. Even though it's still like that, no matter what.
Yeah,
when you drop down over there, just like got to knock shit out.
Yeah, has it been kind of crazy? Like, things have been picking up pretty quickly for you, it seems like.
A lot of ripping and running.
Yeah. Have you been working at this a long time?
You know, like not as hectically as it is now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, does it... there's no such thing ever as an overnight success.
Yeah.
But does what's been happening lately feel kind of like... Where the fuck did this come from?
Just like, it's very much just... like sudden, because I just had a job like what, a month and a half ago.
Yeah,
you know, another job that doesn't involve this.
Yeah,
you know,
what were you doing?
I was like working at a barbecue place.
Yeah,
barbecue man. You know?
I love barbecue. I'll tell you.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was good. I won't lie, it was good.
You still get free lunches when you go in now? They're gonna be, next time you go in, they're like, they'll be like, oh, you changed, man.
Oh,
you
man,
changed.
You Hollywood, man.
Yeah,
you,
why you acting all Hollywood?
Man. You don't even come by no more.
Oh, Fader talk about you and you can't eat fucking ribs no more. Is that what it is?
Right.
Nah, that's funny, man. Yeah, so Mississippi, did you go to high school there?
No. I left there at like 2000. That's when I was in Georgia.
Yeah, what took you away from Mississippi?
This family.
Yeah.
That's the day decisions. I was young, so I didn't really remember why.
Right.
I was like, oh, well, now I'm here.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it is when you're little. You're just like, oh, well, now I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. You don't really have any say in that decision. What do your folks do?
My mother's a nurse.
Mom's a nurse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dad, he does like computers and shit.
Yeah.
I don't really know the specifics.
Did they stay together?
It's computers. My dad? Nah.
Where's he at?
Nah, he's in Mississippi.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did your mom remarry?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So how's
that? You see the
Yeah, having to think about it.
Being like, oh, I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, sorry, I dig deep. I mean, so sometimes people aren't prepared for this, but I like to learn about
I'd be having to think about it, though.
Social
like,
aspects more.
Like,
I'm not really trying
to. What my family be doing?
Yeah, my bad.
I'd be away from the house a lot.
Yeah.
Since college, like, I've just been, you know, just out here living.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah. Where'd you go to school at? In Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
What was it?
Yeah, Georgia State University.
Nice. And so did you start making music in college or before that?
In college.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
dorm room antics?
Dorm room antics, man. That is really where it started.
Yeah.
It was dorm room antics.
Yeah. I feel that. That's a very similar story. Yeah. So you move in 2000. What grade are you in when you move to Atlanta?
Like fifth grade, yeah. And I was going in the fifth grade.
So when you moved to Atlanta, are you living like...
Oh, wait, no. Yeah, see, there we go. See, I was a metro kid, like out there in the West, like not in the city.
Okay.
Like out where it was still just kind of like, oh, you know, regular life, not city, like, oh,
like
I'm hopping on the train.
Like burbs type of shit?
Yeah, burbs.
Yeah,
definitely, yeah.
But was it a bit of a future shock where it was like you came from this wooded area and now you're like in those suburbs
and
of Atlanta?
And now there's more shit going on a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but... It was more or less still, you know, just I'm chilling.
Yeah.
If anything, I became less social.
Really?
For a while.
How so?
Because of that. Just moving. Just like, it's like, oh, whoa, hold on. All right, now I'm like, okay, here are all these other kids that are different.
Yeah.
Because this is, you know, I don't know, Atlanta kids are just going to be completely, like another state, period. Just,
right.
It's going to be completely different. The kids are going to be different.
Right.
Country Mississippi kids are not the same as... You know, Georgia, well, Atlanta kids.
And beyond that, I feel like Atlanta, like that's a big major metropolis. And
right.
I feel like everybody has their ideas about it already.
Yeah.
And so like, even as a kid, I'm sure you were hearing the music coming out of Atlanta and like seeing, you know, how it's portrayed in the media or whatever and being like, oh shit, I'm like in the city now and shit. Like, was that a thing? Like, were you worried when you were moving there?
Oh, just kinda like, nah. Yeah. As a kid, it's just really just like, oh, well, here I am.
Yeah.
Enjoying myself.
Yeah.
I guess trying to find fun and just me.
And so you didn't get to be like
a lot of solo dolo activity until like the end of high school, really.
Really?
Yeah.
So what, just a loner all throughout high school?
Not a loner. I mean, I was still cool at the school, but
right.
when I got home, I was like, I'm home.
Yeah.
I don't want to hang out. I just want to chill.
Right.
And be a little internet kid. Just be on the computer and shit.
Yeah, so you're on the internet. There we go. Like, what kind of internet shit were you up to?
The weird, random shit. Like, goddamn, like, fucking... forums and message boards and role-playing games.
Hey, now you're talking my language.
And,
what forums were you on?
Oh, man. Oh, it depends. Like, I can't even, like, because it goes from, like, when I was, like, 10.
Yeah.
First getting the internet, being on, like, Dragon Ball Z blogs and shit like that to, like, you know, fast forward and, you know, hip-hop blogs and random shit like that later on. And, like, what was it? What's another joint? Oh, 4chan and, like, all that shit.
Oh, wow. So you're deep into the internet.
Random shit. Like, you know. Yeah. I mean, I was doing, like, when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, all I got is this computer and shit. I don't want to kick it with nobody from school. So I'm about to be at the crib.
Yeah.
Going through the goddamn, the cracks of the dungeon.
Yeah.
Into, like, the shithole.
Were you playing video games, too? Or, consoles?
Yeah.
What games were you into?
Definitely. I was, you know, like, we'll see. I guess around that time, like, Crash Bandicoot, PlayStation.
Yeah.
You know, I started out PlayStation kid before I made that transition.
Yeah.
Like, I originally got, like a 64
when
I was little, and I was just like, I can only play Mario. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So, instantaneously, you know, PlayStation, Metal Gear, goddamn.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid was a game changer.
With the titties and, you know, Crash Bandicoot, you know, goddamn, you know, I can see stuff moving.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
Right.
But, action, adventure, RPG...
Yeah.
You know, towards that lane. I like to develop shit.
Yeah, the stories, like thick stories.
Yeah, thick stories, develop characters.
Absolutely.
You know.
That's funny, dude. Yeah.
I like to make me and shit.
I feel like I'm going to age myself, but I was, my first system was an Atari.
Really?
Yeah. And I we were late because we were a little more lower middle class than the other kids around. So yeah. That while they were getting Nintendos, my folks went, oh, well, we can get you an Atari for cheap because the Atari store is about to go out of business. And then we didn't get a Nintendo until like other kids were just about to start getting Sega Genesis. You feel me?
Man, I feel your pain.
Yeah. But I didn't
when I saw like the Super Nintendo, I couldn't own it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, oh, it's my friend's.
Yeah. Right.
I got the PlayStation and shit way later down the line.
Right. Yeah. That's so funny though.
I was so late.
I do remember like when we did get a PlayStation and got Metal Gear Solid, like that game was really broke the video game world wide open.
I used to just like to watch my uncle play it.
It was so good.
Yeah. I just want to watch you go through the story.
Yeah. It's like a movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. When they did the fucking psychic thing where it's like, put the controller down and I'll move it with my mind. You're like, what? Holy shit.
Man, it's I miss old games.
Yeah.
I haven't had the time to play shit now. Like, yeah. And it's gotten so far. I've just been watching friends play stuff.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get back into it.
Right.
You know, everybody's like, you're not going to get any chill time, bro. I'm just like, man.
Eventually, when you work hard enough, you'll get to have some downtime.
Yeah.
Like, you know, right now is the time where it's like, you gotta have zero
it's
chill.
It's that go hard.
You got to have zero chill right now, but you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm glad that we're catching you up on the upswing, because I truthfully believe that like in 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be too big to have done this show.
So really?
I'm catching you on the upswing. That's how I feel. I have a good, not to be too, my rap name is Intuition. I don't know if you know. but I have a good intuition about these sort of things. So, yeah, man. Solid shit is happening. Chew that nacho. We'll edit that part out. We're going to leave it in because
LA makes you really hungry.
It's so amazing.
LA makes you really hungry. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I've been eating a lot since I got here.
What have you been eating?
A lot of Mexican.
You're supposed to eat Mexican out here. You took to school. You're a smart dude. You sound smart.
Yeah. You know, but it was all just easy shit. Like all throughout, like until I got to college, it was just like, oh, I'm just sitting here. I'm like, all right, this is easy.
Yeah. So you were probably one of those dudes where if you fell asleep in class or something, it didn't matter because you could teach yourself.
Yeah. I could at least get a B or a C or some shit.
Yeah.
If I actually tried, then it's like, it's all A's.
Right.
I'm like a B honor roll guy. Like, yeah. I'm a try, but I ain't about to try that hard.
Right. Particularly probably when you get into like the AP classes and you realize that a B counts as an A on your GPA, you're like, oh, I can hella slack now.
Yeah. And then I hit college. I'm just like, what? There's life going on.
What'd you study in school? In college.
In college, I started off. I went for like health and sciences and shit, like pharmacy. And
shit. Oh, you're gonna be a pharmacist.
Yeah. But I was just like, I took chemistry and I didn't pass shit. So I was just like, nah, man.
Really?
And that first semester fucked me all up anyway. Because I was just like, what? I'm free. I can do whatever right now. And then, so I was like, all right. So then I hit the next year. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going to do what I really want to do, which is art.
Yeah.
You know, graphic design and all that shit, drawing. That was cool, but it was hella easy. I'm just like, this isn't college anymore. What is this? Like,
right.
It's like, oh, yeah, we're just going to give you A. Just let me, they just start throwing out A's. I'm just like, all right, I'm all right. But, you know, like, and I was just like, this is too easy. And I left that alone. And then I took film. I switched to film like in the third, fourth year. And I might have made it like half a semester and I just dropped out.
It's so funny, dude. I feel like, well, first off, I feel like you just described my fucking college life, and it's very relatable. I feel like creative people, you kind of are scared of it at first. You're like, wait, why is this not taking? Like, why is this chemistry shit that's gonna make me money like not making me happy? And then you're like, well, I want to fucking do creative shit,
right?
And then the creative shit feels like you're cheating life because all of a sudden you're like mad happy, but it feels like you said they give out A's, you know? Like, oh, you tried, good job.
Yeah, exactly.
But then also it's like you go, oh, well, this type of creativity is cool, but I want to do this type of creativity instead, and just jump around and shit. So. Yeah, how when you look back in hindsight at your days as a lonesome internet journeyman, were you like already getting into like design stuff back then?
Oh yeah. Since then, like, you know, because even like everybody when they little and shit watching anime is like, I want to try and mimic this, and create something as nice and beautiful, you know,
right?
Like making like, you know, the youngest thing I might have wanted to do is be like a nigga to make comics,
yeah.
You know, then once you get past all that and get into other shit,
yeah.
But, yeah.
There's an interesting thing with rap guys and comic books.
Yeah.
man, so many fucking of the rap homies grew up on comics.
Oh, hell yeah.
I grew up on comics, too. My dad told me, like, hey, if you want to learn big words, read comic books. They use, right. They use hella big words all the time.
Yeah, that is actually true as fuck.
Yeah, which...
Sunday comics all the time.
Which universe were you into, Marvel or DC or...
Mostly Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly Marvel.
That X was... stuff?
Yeah, like, you know, I like a couple of DC characters. Like, I was big on the Batman and shit.
Okay,
like, you
know, yeah,
like Batman. That was like,
that's right, the dude,
fucking millionaire playboy, goddamn bat suit, right. Batmobile,
yeah,
bat where, bitches. Like,
where does he get all these wonderful toys?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's like, oh, well, you need to come from money and all that shit. But you know, but not exactly related. I guess it's like, oh, I wish, you know, oh man, why couldn't I come into that?
Yeah.
Maybe that's kind of where that comes from.
Right. It's like this story of fucking like, oh, that, yeah, this could be us.
Like, who doesn't want to be a playboy millionaire, you know, making bad shit?
That would be tight. I mean, but then again, I wouldn't want my parents to be killed.
Oh, yeah.
See, there's a give and take.
Yeah. You're right.
He's like, oh, I got this mansion, but damn. My parents got killed as fuck.
Man, I'm the fucking Batman.
Yeah.
And I can't tell anybody.
Exactly. It's like there's definitely a give
anybody
and take
I tell
with Bruce
dies.
Wayne, you feel me? Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, like, he's already getting pussy, Bruce Wayne, as just being a millionaire playboy, but he could be pulling whatever he wants if he was like, hey, you know I'm Batman, girl.
I'm Batman.
Girl, you know I'm Batman, right? They'd be like, oh, shit. But he can't use that. It's almost like his own crutch.
And then somebody finds out who she is and kills her.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's like, he can never fall in love.
It's terrible. Oh, it's a lonely life, man.
It is.
It's a lonely life. And then he's stuck on internet forums.
It's like where I'm headed.
You know? So what, in high school, elementary, did you ever get into sports or anything? You just like wanted to be a loner?
Nah, I didn't really fuck with the sports.
No sports?
I mean, every once in a while I go to the games and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Be like, oh yeah, yeah, those people I'm cool with in class. Like,
yeah,
oh, yeah, hey, you know.
Right.
But for the most part, I mean, I was in band.
Oh, what did you play in band?
Yeah, started off on trumpet, ended up like baritone.
Hey, I played the baritone.
Low
swag.
Brass, you know, low brass, the freak section.
That's funny, dog. Yeah. Oh man, you know, I've told this story before on the podcast, but like when I was in fifth grade, we had the option to join band, and I was like, man, I want to play the fucking biggest instrument.
Yeah.
It was like my if I was in high school, I would drive a big truck with raised tires moment. I was like, I want the biggest and baddest, and so I got a baritone and I learned to play treble clef, and like. But I grew up in the snow, and so it was like trying to tug that shit and like carry that motherfucker through the snow. Like,
yeah,
nah,
man.
It became too much work.
I would not.
Yeah. Were you a voracious reader? Beyond comic books, did you find yourself like? I don't know why I'm getting a fucking very smart vibe off of you. So I'm just wondering if, like, since you were, you say that you were kind of like a bit antisocial and maybe doing a lot of like internet stuff. I wonder if, like, you know, did you find yourself getting lost in novels and things like that as a kid too?
Not really.
Nah.
I mean, like textbooks, like,
yeah, textbooks.
I mean, you know, for school.
Yeah.
I'd read parts, you know, like, you know, speed readers. So I'm just like glancing, you know, looking through shit.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that word? Look it up. You know,
right.
Type of shit.
Yeah.
I didn't like reading shit without images, you know, like white paper and words. Like I used to try to read the dictionary actually. Like,
really?
You know, I was like, man, I want to know more words.
Yeah.
You know, and I just make it like a little bit into it and be like, what the fuck am I doing?
Right.
Where are the
reading the dictionary seems like a good idea until you start.
That was the most ambitious thing I did.
By the time you get to like antithesis, you're like, damn, I just started this shit. I've read like 100 fucking pages.
Because I remember one time I got this one book called Infinite Jest, and I looked on the back and I was like, man, this story sounds so riveting. And then like I started and I'm just like, man, this sounds so good, but I'm not looking at shit. I can't do it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm so visual that I just really don't.
Man, is that a fucking byproduct of the internet generation, you think? Did you grow up with the internet instantly?
It came around when I was like 9.
See, that's the thing. I didn't get it. We didn't get internet at my house until I was 13, and we were early adopters with the internet
because
my mom was a teacher.
Yeah.
And so the internet literally like didn't even exist before I was 13, kind of. You know what I mean? It was like one of these things. And so now I find myself having such a much shorter attention span. But man, I can't help but sound like an old motherfucker when I be like, man, I'm worried about the next generation. Like, are they even going to be able to interact with people? You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
It'll be different. It's just going to be like they're going to interact and like not in, like in person. It probably won't be like a normal interaction anymore. It'll just be like quick in and outs. And then I'm going to tell you on, you know, on my little media app later.
Hey,
on.
We're going to have our small talk in 140 characters or less.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Keep it quick.
Yeah, keep it quick. Exactly.
Because I was walking the other day. I don't know. I was walking the other day at the carnival.
Yeah.
This kid was like, let me take a picture. And I was like, walk and pick, walk and pick, walk and pick.
Walk and pick.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it moving. We got to keep going.
That's 140
funny. Characters less, man. You know, yeah. That's the generation, right?
Yeah, these single serving friends type of shit, you know?
Yeah.
Do you find yourself being easily distracted? I asked that because I realized the other day, like, I can't watch movies anymore that have subtitles.
Because, I need subtitles.
Because, what's that?
I need subtitles.
Really?
I actually watch movies. I turn on some subtitles.
No shit. See, if I watch like a foreign movie that got subtitles, I find myself not being able to follow along because I'm always doing three other things at the same time. I blame it on the internet.
I feel you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I can definitely feel you on that then.
Yeah.
Like when I'm just reading this.
Right, exactly. Let me play this video game. Maybe text this.
Let me read what's going on. Keep up. Yeah.
Let me send this email. Exactly. Et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. I hate that I can't watch as many movies anymore.
Yeah.
That just takes so much out of your day, sitting and watching a movie.
It really does.
Like, that's 2.5 hours gone. Even though it's going to be like a good 2.5 hours, you're like, I know this movie's about to be good.
Yeah.
That's why I really only watch things now if it's like it's about to win like some shit. Like,
right.
Like it's like, oh, nominated for this, that. And I'm like, oh, okay, let me go check that out.
I like
them Surefires.
Yeah, like what?
What was in the last season?
Oscars. Fuck,
I don't even remember what
won Best Movie. I feel like
it was Her or some shit.
Oh yeah, Her was
that
great.
That was very beautiful.
Her, you know,
it was pretty. Like, it looked nice.
It was gorgeous.
I just couldn't get into that whole.
I liked the movie, but I got to tell you, it took place in a not so distant Los Angeles future,
right.
With a single man that lived alone, and I couldn't help but be like, "This is hitting a little too close
it's
to home.
Hitting a little too."
This shit is very sad to me. Like,
I feel you.
I was like, this shit is getting
to that point where it's just like, you know what? I don't like any of y'all. I'm just gonna look at my phone and just be like, yeah.
Yeah, this shit.
That voice is hella sexy.
Exactly. This shit was too real. I was like, this is very believable.
I didn't even get to finish it. So I don't know. Should I go back? Should I go back and check it out? I mean, it was looking very nice. Like, you know, just the scene.
Spoiler alert, he dies at the end. No, I'm just kidding.
That'd have been epic. That'd have been worth watching.
Maybe he does. I can't fucking remember.
That would have made me go check it out to find out how he dies.
I got a dope site that you should fucking... Have you heard of Popcorn Time?
Popcorn Time? No, what's that?
I shouldn't snitch on this because it's kind of like a first rule of Popcorn Time is don't talk about it. But it's like, it kind of combines like Napster and like torrents almost. Or it's like Napster and Netflix combined, kind of using torrent technology without having to like download any torrent, third-party torrent things. It just has all the covers of all this new shit, and you can just click it and it'll like download it, but it never saves any of the info to your computer.
Oh shit.
But they got all the new shit that Netflix don't got. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes
you might have to write that down when I leave.
It's free. It's free, dude. I'll text you. Yeah, I'll text Maureen. It's free, and it's like it's the hot shit. And
hell yeah,
they got some shit that's in theaters right now that's already like perfect DVD screeners. So
you know, that's what I like.
Shout out to Popcorn Time.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
I try to keep up on those sites because once they go, it's like, what am I gonna do?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, oh my god,
Back
to torrents.
Right. I canceled my cable a while back because you don't even need it.
Nah, I haven't had cable in since college, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, since before I dropped out. When they were giving me shit. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, here's cable.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, wait, we got distracted about the fucking, you went from trumpet to baritone. I want to talk about
shit.
That.
Whoa.
Sorry, we went on a long tangent.
Whoa. Damn, I didn't even see that happening.
So I want to ask you, did you learn to read music?
Oh, yeah, for the most part. I kind of sucked at it, though.
Yeah.
I was all right.
Yeah.
Because that's why I didn't go into marching band and symphonic and all that shit. That's why I stopped at the beginning.
Is marching band like a big culture in Atlanta?
It is actually. Now I think about it, I guess I slipped out of it. That's why I didn't think about how big it is. But it is actually kind of big.
Yeah, I don't think there's only a few.
People
regions.
Don't talk about it that much though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's only a few regions where that's really a big subculture, and I don't know that California is one of them.
Yeah. I don't know. It was probably bigger before now. I don't think right now, because nobody really talks about it as much. I remember like Battle of the Bands and all that stuff being really big at one point, but I don't know. Maybe I just don't keep my ear to the radio.
Right. Mm. How long did you stick with band?
About 3-4 years.
What made you want to switch from the trumpet to the baritone?
Oh, that wasn't even my choice. My lips are too big, said my band teacher.
That seems kind of racist.
It did seem a little racist.
Was it a white teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, this motherfucker.
Yeah, he was like, hey, your lips are probably too big for the trumpet, and that's why it doesn't sound exactly how it's supposed to sound.
Wow.
So he's like, you should switch to baritone. It'll be easier. And I was like, all right, bro, I'll switch to this heavy-ass instrument.
Wow. That seems
And then it just, and then I became, that's what I like. That after that, that's what I used from then on. I left trumpet. That was, you know.
That's so funny, dude. Like, that's the, in hindsight, that seems so racist, but at the time, I'm sure it just seemed like good advice. Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, man. Like,
oh, yeah. This authoritative figure is telling me, like, that my lips are too big. And now, as an adult, you're like, wait, this racist motherfucker.
I never thought back on that.
Yeah. It's like, hey, nobody ever told Dizzy Gillespie his fucking lips are too big. Like,
this changed the whole track of my life. There's no telling what would have happened if I did not hear that bit of information. I could have been the most fire trumpet player ever.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you could be a fucking famous jazz musician instead of father right now.
Exactly.
Who knows? Who knows?
But yeah, I left that shit alone once it got to high school, and I was like, this shit's not cool anymore. Fuck this.
Okay, so this is a super tech question, I guess, but did you switch when you went to baritone from treble clef to bass clef?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not switch. I did not switch.
You stayed on treble clef?
I stayed on treble clef.
Yeah. I wonder if maybe subconsciously your music has been inspired by the baritone, because I feel like your beats are like pretty 808 and bass heavy. Like a lot of the melodies lie in the bass line, really.
That is true.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they knock.
Yeah, no, I never thought about that, but I guess that might have been the origin of that.
I'm the king. You went back.
You just went back in there.
You feel me?
I mean, it all sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah, I listen close, and I sometimes on the fly come up with random theories, and that's what just happened.
You're filling up my Wikipedia page right now.
There you go. Hey, if you're editing his page, talk about how his beats are influenced by his time as a baritone player.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So then, what happens when you're about to go to college? Do you apply for a bunch of different places, or was it like you just knew you were going to end up at this one spot?
Oh, I applied. I mean, I guess I didn't care that much.
Yeah.
After high school, I was like, well, I'm done with this shit finally. I was like, I'm going to go because I just want to get out of the house and be like somewhere else.
Right.
I applied to like Georgia State, some medical schools like Emory and shit. I got into everything that I went for.
Yeah.
I only picked like four places, honestly.
Yeah.
I was just like, I really don't care. I almost ended up in Bumfuck. I'm glad that one didn't pan out.
That's a real place?
No. Bumfuck, Georgia.
That was the name of my hometown.
But no, I was just like, whatever. I just went with whatever I got. I was just like, okay, that's right down in the city. Cool. I'm in Atlanta. I can just, you know, I've already been in Atlanta a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, visiting, you know, more of my mom worked and shit like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was just like, city life, cool. I'll come out here.
Yeah.
You know, also, I was about to apply to like, what was it? I don't know. Something out here. It was like some real, like regular ass LA, like state school. I don't know which one it was.
Yeah, like Northridge or something, or like one of the universities out here.
It was some real easy to get into shit.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, look, what? The scores weren't even that high.
Yeah.
And I looked at the ratio of girls to guys, and I looked at the ratio.
That's very important.
What kind of girls? Like, you know how you got to fill out the thing, or it's like black, African American, and fucking Pacific Islander. I looked at those ratios, and I was like, I want to go there.
Yeah, that like one of the things was like, are you a thought checker? You're like, damn, there's 57% thotties at this school?
I was like, what? I gotta go.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta go over there. But that didn't work out.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I filled it out too late. So I almost could have, because I'm pretty sure I would have got in. I would have come here.
Yeah.
Like right out of, but I mean, I might not have been who I am now.
That's what I'm saying. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about that reasoning. You move into a dorm at, where at?
Georgia State.
Georgia State. Yeah. So you move into a dorm there. What's your roomie like when you move in? Cool guy?
Korean
or no?
Dude.
Korean dude?
Yeah. Korean.
Just, shout out to Ben, the Korean homie back there making the shit sound buttery.
Hey.
Los Angeles, big Korean contingent.
Word.
Yeah. So,
okay.
biggest population of Koreans outside of Seoul in Los Angeles.
I did not know that.
So, your roommate's last name was either Park, Kim, or Lee. Which one was it?
Hold on. Which one? Oh, thanks, man. Which one was it? Hold on.
Is that right, Ben?
I think it was either Park or Kim.
Yeah.
I think it was. It was either Park or Kim.
Yeah. Very popular names. So it's like, you know,
if he hears this and he's just like, nah, man, that is he's not. Like, that's so racist.
He said, y'all are as racist as the trumpet teacher.
Because I was neither of those. That'd be so funny.
Did you guys get along? I never got along with college roommates.
We got along.
Yeah.
We got along because we were both really chill. Like, I was just like over there like, yeah, man. The only thing he ever like got and complained about was me turning on the microwave because it was near his head.
Oh, he was scared of brain tumors.
Yeah, that's yeah. I mean, that's, I was like, that's understandable, bro. I know the microwave's right here by your head.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do it at night while you're laying down.
Yeah,
because you know it was one of those, you know, those beds in the same room situations.
Yeah,
all that. But I mean, for the most part, it was cool.
Did you start
I thought he was in like the Yakuza or some shit. Like, obviously, no, it's not.
That's Japanese, but.
I know. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Racist. Yeah. And he's like, you're so, like, I don't know. His friends are very intimidating. Like, it was just like a large crew. Like, it was like a very large crew of Koreans. And it was just like, they all were very just like, I'm going to come into your dorm room. Like,
oh, shit.
Like, I'm going to be real cool.
Yeah.
Go in your fridge. Like, like, I'm going to look at your shit.
Yeah, you ain't going to say nothing.
You're not
going to
say anything because there's like 30 of us here.
Yeah, yeah.
They went to the gym a lot, so I'm just like, y'all I don't know.
Swole Koreans?
They were swole, yeah. My roommate, he actually started off like, we started off like the same size, and then by the end of that semester, he was just like swole Korean.
You're like, when did you turn into The Rock?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
And then all his friends were just scary as shit, and I was like, okay, I see where you're going.
That's funny.
I see where you're going with it. Nobody's fucking with you.
Did you guys ever fight over like what music was getting played in the room or anything?
Nah, he used to leave frequently.
Yeah,
he used to just be out a lot.
Yeah,
and then I would be gone a lot because I was just like, I just wanted to explore the fucking city.
What'd you do when you got there? Where'd you start exploring?
Ooh, just walking.
When do you start breaking into like the scene? You know what I'm saying?
The scene.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. That was more so towards the end of that freshman year. Like,
yeah.
Going into my sophomore year, I met like my manager. Morian, actually.
Shout out to Morian.
We went to Georgia State together.
Yeah.
Let
me tell you on a personal note, he's very easy to deal with in emails. So that's a good guy. Hang on to him. He's a good
definitely.
Dude. Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
So shout out to Morian. Proceed.
But yeah, we met towards the end of like that. Well, I mean, we kind of were aware of each other already, but we really met towards the end of that first year.
Yeah.
And I met his cousin, Keith Charles Spacebar.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Also awful.
Yeah. Shout out.
You know, and that also in turn made me meet Ethereal.
Yes.
So we were already kind of...
You guys were already like a friend group before you became
already
a clique.
Like already a group of friends. And then like, you know, their extensive friends and friends and friends and friends and friends and friends and, you know, circle.
Yeah.
Because Atlanta's not, you know, once these circles start spawning, it's just like they overlap real fast.
Yeah, totally. Los Angeles is the same way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different small subsects that all kind of become circles that interlap as well. Yeah, yeah. So Venn diagram, if you will.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So was your freshman year of college kind of the formative year of establishing your music taste, or did that happen when you were younger?
That happened. I mean, it's been like in my ear all the time, like since I was younger.
You know,
just, you know, having family and people around me.
I always say
my mom played stuff like that.
I have like a theory that the age of 13 is the year that really glues music together in your head, because that and it might be a bias, but it's a lot of people that I've talked to about that. But when I was 13 is when I found like Wu-Tang Clan, Snoop Dogg, like all these people that were coming out when I was 13. And to this day, like, that's all the shit that like defines my taste. You know what I'm saying? Was there anything like that defining your taste at that time for you?
At that time, around 13, I'm trying to think, where was I at? What school was that in? I don't know. I think around that time I was playing random ass shit like techno and
really?
A lot of electro and dance music, especially going into like in a high school.
That's very internet.
Yeah, very internet.
Very internet.
Yeah, like all that like random shit that I was into at the time.
Yeah.
I can't really remember a lot of the names.
Right.
I just know that I was just on that shit. Like, old dance music. You know, but I guess that was because, you know,
that's
my mom's and shit.
That's interesting, too. Why you say your mom's? That's
She played a lot of, you know, like Uncle Luke, you know, bass type
shit. Okay.
You know, dance music.
Yeah,
A lot of dance music when I was younger.
Okay.
So I guess I got a little bit older and I started looking into where that came from.
Yeah.
And that's when I found out about a lot of like European electro shit and all that stuff. So I was listening to a lot of that. Then it kind of got me into that weird shit like Uffy and all that.
That's interesting. Because like listening to the record, that makes sense to me, because when you take it and you kind of dissect it, you realize like there's a lot of electro noises in it.
Right.
You got a lot of 808 noises in it. Even like on Young Hot Ebony, the fucking doom, doo, doom.
Simple melodies.
It reminds me of like the Beastie Boys, like the drum kits they were using back then.
Right.
But it's also very sparse. You know what I mean? And like there's a lot of room for things to breathe on it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Anyway, so yeah, so your freshman year of college, you're out with Ethereal, you're out with Keith Charles, Spacebar, Morian. You guys going to shows and shit?
Towards my sophomore year, we were definitely hitting up shows, especially after Keith's, his like first joint drop.
Yeah.
Before Common Era.
Yeah.
When that came out, that's when I was just like, really just like, oh, okay, this is a scene. Like, this is a whole fucking thing.
And who were you guys running into at that time?
Early 2009, you know, like various people, Sean Fallions and all these other cats. And that was just already kind of Hollyweird.
Yeah.
It was like around that time that they were all, I guess, on the fringe of something.
Right.
But we were just popping out just then.
Yeah.
I wasn't even doing the music shit yet.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Like when you say the scene, like in LA, I can tell you when I was coming up, the scene that was kind of formative in my education was like a lot of really shitty shows where maybe like 30 people are there, but you like perform your fucking heart out anyways. Is that the kind of shit it was?
Yeah, a lot of that. A lot of like, oh, these aren't really like, you're not in a room full of fans. Yeah. It's really you're in a room full of peers. A
room full of other artists. Or yeah. Almost kind of like, you're almost kind of like workshopping your music in front of other people, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's what a lot of it was. That's what a lot of it felt like.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you look around and it's like, wait, you know him. Yeah. You're featured on a song with this guy. Y'all are doing all this stuff together. I'm just like, that's all the crowd right there. Like,
right. But here's the other thing too, is that I kind of talked to Maureen about this briefly on the email. It was like, I feel like the circles in Los Angeles and Atlanta are similar in that everyone kind of knows each other and that there is a lot of very experimental music coming out of both places. But I feel like Atlanta has a stronger track record of kind of crossing over.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like for every experimental rapper that's like doing shit in Los Angeles, we don't ever have a fucking Young Thug that like takes experimental rap to like crazy fucking levels, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and just breaks.
And mainstream people accept it, you know what I'm saying?
You're right.
So what kind of artists are you seeing in the scene? Or like, is it weird being in a place where you're seeing local dudes fucking blow up on a national level? Like, what's that like?
It's not too wild because even with the scene, it's broken up into like areas. Like, because I mean, the shit that I came, like, you know, that was around that little scene, mm-hmm. kind of was more art influence, mm-hmm. you know, kids that are in like downtown, mm-hmm. downtown, midtown, East Atlanta kind of area. Then you have like, you know, you go deep into East Atlanta and you got your Gucci's and like all that shit, and you go like south side and you got Waka and all that. Like that's those are different areas of the city,
mm-hmm.
where people, they're not really into that downtown art shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like Young Thug, like where that came from, would not be popping out at the same show around the same time that other people were coming up.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah, Los Angeles is the same way. It's like the scenes in West LA are different from the kids that are in East LA that are different from the kids in the Valley, then Long Beach. It's like all, it's all kind of like compartmentalized that way.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
so you don't necessarily need one scene to pop up out of there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's really interesting. You don't need any of the scenes to pop up out of there, I guess.
So when do you finally start to decide that, like, oh, I'm going to start making music now?
That was after staying with Keith and Ethereal for a hot little second.
Okay.
And just seeing them work, I kind of started to pick up on their craft a little bit.
Uh-huh.
That was like right after I dropped out of college.
Yeah. How did your mom take to that?
I just kind of backed it. I was also doing I had just started like the Awful Media Group thing, like, you know, shooting freelance.
Yeah. Okay. So
because I was like, I'm tired of art school. Fuck all this. I can do all this myself.
So Awful Media started more of just like you were freelance filming and art and like kind of being an art director.
Yeah.
Like graphic design, stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. So you start filming videos for your friends, essentially. Is that how it starts?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
like the first video I shot was for Ethereal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What song is it? Still on the internet?
What song was that? It was a remix. Don't Kill This Thing.
It was called Don't Kill This Thing.
It was a remix. Yeah, Don't Kill This Thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was it was tight.
Yeah, it came out good. And did people take to it? You guys put it on YouTube and like did
it? It was on YouTube and then, you know, certain people saw it. Yeah. Fans, like his fans saw it.
Yeah.
He was already doing a lot of shit. Like he had a lot of just fans in the city, just random people. It's just like reaching out. Cause, you know, he was doing more like drum and bass. And,
okay.
Like, it was like a different crowd.
Okay.
That were into him at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so people were like, oh, this is tight. And you start to see like a little bit of results.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, did you think like, oh, maybe we're onto something here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, instantaneously, I was just like, all right, y'all tight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to keep doing this for y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just keep going because, you know, I believe in y'all, you know, type of shit. I wasn't rapping and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was just.
But did you know you could rap?
Yeah, I mean, I was already like working on it before that, you know, on the low and shit. You know, I was writing a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of writing.
But you didn't let anybody know or what?
A couple people knew, but like Archibald Slim on Awful, he knew.
Yeah.
Because I'd go up to his spot where he had his little studio. He was working on shit.
Yeah.
And he would hear me. But for the most part, it was mainly just him.
It's kind of on the low. Like you just didn't like, well, pause to that. But like fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like it was something that you did for yourself, but like you didn't necessarily feel the need to share it yet.
Yeah,
so when does it get to the point where you're like, wait, I'm filming these videos and they're coming out good.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of catching the vapors and I want to do it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just kept working on my production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the beats came before the raps, kind of.
Yeah.
What did you get on? Did you just bootleg some software?
Reason. That's what Ethereal and Keith were working at the time.
Yeah.
They were doing other shit too. Like they work with like Ableton and fucking what else? Other stuff.
Yeah.
I can't even think of it right now. But they work on other platforms. But I got stuck on Reason for a second.
Yeah.
I was just like, I want to be fired this.
Yeah. And what was your initial attempts at beat making like? Were you trying to sample or were you trying to just stick with drum kit type stuff? What were you doing?
Mostly just the sounds, just drum kit shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have like a MIDI keyboard or anything like that you're
not? Nah, I was just straight on the laptop, you know?
Just on the mouse.
Like, just on the
Yeah.
For the longest. I mean, even up to now, I still don't really use keyboards like that.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. And so when did you decide that the beats were good enough to rap on?
Shit, that was like this past, let me see, what was the first joint that I did that was of my own? I was just like, yeah, this is cool. All right, I'm going to go with this. Probably when I put out the Teen Gohan thing.
Uh-huh.
I put out like Teen Gohan way back when. That was all just like, okay, I'm going to just go over my shit.
Right.
Because I was just, you know, because before that, I was already like rapping over Keith stuff.
Okay.
You know, I did some songs with him and shit like that.
Yeah.
A couple of them came out, a couple of them haven't come out, you mm-hmm. know.
Yeah.
But I was just like, you know, trying to find my vibe still on my own. And then once I started, you know, playing with my own shit, I was just like, wow, this is actually kind of even more my sound.
Like, yeah, like it felt good.
Yeah.
It felt right. And so how long ago was that, would you say?
2 years.
2 years ago?
Yeah. A year? I mean, two years? I mean, when did I put that out?
I hate you. That's so fast to be like good.
I mean, I was working on like the production shit, you know, for like a good year or two before I was just like, okay, like, I can at least give my beats to people and shit like that.
Right.
See people that don't want to like them and shit.
Right. What other people, man, there's so many fucking producers bubbling in Atlanta right now. Like, do you draw inspiration from local people?
Yeah, of course.
Like, are you around? I mean, I don't know how it works. Like, are you guys around fools like Sunny Digital and Metro Boomin?
I mean,
I'm
like just now meeting them.
Yeah, yeah.
Like as of like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like Billboard shoot, I think it was.
Okay.
I met Sunny.
Okay.
Metro I met before that when Drake and Lil Wayne were in Atlanta.
Okay.
On that tour.
Okay, word. Oh, yeah, because Mokona must have been on stage with them or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, word. That makes sense. Yeah, that's the kind of shit that I wonder is like what, like when the circle, like how much do the circles overlap?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Not very much. Not very much. Until like, I mean, more recently they've been really kind of just starting to
gel.
Yeah, right. like different sides just starting to kind of come into meeting.
Yeah.
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 But before that, nah, it was just like that was over there. Some people were over there, some people were over there, some people were over there.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how long were you conceptualizing Young Hot Ebony? Like, was that something that you started working on?
Young Hot, that was right at the start of the summer.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I put out the Lil Diddy EP.
Uh-huh.
And then immediately after the Lil Diddy EP, I started working on what I wanted to call Young Hot Ebony.
And you had the idea for the project, like, in your head? You knew how you wanted it to gel together and all that?
I mean, the sound-wise, I knew where I wanted to take it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just kind of, like, very simple.
It's very cohesive.
Very simple and jamming.
It is. It's simple. It's fucking, it's clever. And I almost feel like it's simple enough to where some people will write it off as like, oh, this is some ignorant shit. But if you listen, it's fucking clever. It's very clever, I think. And I really like your hook writing because I think all the hooks are like, I don't know, there's like a certain amount of whimsy to them. Like like dossier, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's a word that you never hear that word.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's
you
not,
never
it's
hear
not
that
common.
Word. You never hear the word dossier.
It's not a common.
But yet you fucking say it. And and like I said, the first time
I
heard
that
the
comes
record,
from conversation. It's just like all the shit that's really the most jamming comes from just basic conversation.
That
just
is
chilling
so,
at the crib.
That's so on point. And I feel like you can tell that. It was like an inside joke that probably like got to be recorded.
Yeah,
you know,
it was like right before it, literally. Yeah. I think it was Rich Po Slim actually that was like said something about the word dossier.
Oh, let me check your dossier.
And I was like, okay, dossier. Oh, pass. Okay, dossier.
Yeah.
And I was like,
well, and that's the funny thing is
and
like,
right then, just went ahead and laid it. You know?
It's funny, but it's also like, you can memorize it the first time you heard it. Like,
right.
I felt like I was in my car at a live show going, like, let me check your dossier. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could see all them songs going off like that are like, two dead, six wounded. That's what you give her.
You know, memorable phrases. That's what I'm
talking about. Exactly. It's so fucking, it's just mad catchy, dude. And so, all right, so you were kind of like had it visualized in your head of how you wanted it to come out. Did it come out how you wanted it to?
Yeah. I had like the album cover in my head. I'm just like, I want the popsicles and the girl. And
yeah.
No, if it comes, you know, I'm like the entire time, I'm just like, all right, can I get this shot? Can
yeah.
I make this happen? That happened. And it was like, all these sounds come together. All right, that happened.
Yeah.
Cool. And then it's like, and put it out. And it's like, wow.
Yeah. How long did it you put it out, and I feel like what people must have caught on to it like a month or two later.
Yeah, it was like a month later.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, so this summer must have just been a crazy shitstorm for you, because like we got let's just talk about like the whole, obviously the most cliched question is like, tell me about Makonnen and your relationship with Makonnen, but like you guys must have been homies or you guys are homies, right?
Once we once we made that Nokia record.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we had met like a year before then, back when we used to throw parties and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like awful media.
Yeah.
We threw events in the city and shit like
okay.
that.
Okay. And how would those crack off? Good turnout?
Oh, yeah. Good, you know, it was all about like, oh, bring the girlies out, make sure they dance and keep them dancing. Make sure it's not too, like, don't fuck the ratio up, you know, type of shit. Like, you know, it was dance parties. Like,
it was dance parties.
That's what we fucked with.
And so was it mostly you guys DJing, or were you guys performing songs as well?
DJing every once in a while, we'd bring in performers okay. and maybe I might pop out every once in a while with some older joints that
okay.
I was rocking.
Yeah.
Nothing, not much that's out right now, but.
And at this point, was what do you guys call the crib that you used to have, the Awful House or something?
Which one?
I don't know.
What time?
I don't know. I read the Fader article. That was
the Barrio.
The Barrio.
Yeah.
You guys
yeah.
still got that place?
Yeah. Archie still lives over there.
So when you guys meet and start clicking up and making music, is it kind of like you just realize like, oh, we need to like all be around each other all the time to like work really hard around each other?
It just happens.
It just happens.
You know, it's like
because
people get into like these locations. It's like, oh, bro, I'm coming over. And it's like, not even really saying it. Eventually, it just becomes like a thing where it's just like, oh, somebody comes over.
And it's kind of becomes like this black hole of creativity almost, right? People just come over and get lost in making shit.
Yeah, basically. Or just being sitting around drunk as fuck, just like blabbing and having conversation.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's just like there's always something going on active. Even like on days where it's just like, if like, oh, nobody really made anything today, but we chilled and talked and got drunk as fuck.
And that's a sense of like brainstorming, really.
Yeah, basically, that's basically brainstorming.
Yeah.
It's brainstorming days. You might think like, oh, y'all didn't get nothing accomplished today, but
yeah.
we talked about some hilarious thing that somebody's going to use for a new song.
Right. Jotting down mental notes for like the next fucking joint.
Yeah.
So the way the Fader article kind of painted it as like you're like this mastermind behind it and gathered everyone together. Would you say that's accurate, or is that kind of a little hyperbolized?
It's a little grander than the whole thing. It really is. It's more natural than that. It's not just like, oh, get over here, bring all this down.
Right.
You know, I wasn't sitting there writing down a fucking ingredients list and mixing up a pot or nothing like that.
Yeah.
It was more so just like things that just kind of, you know, through the universe.
Right.
Brought themselves together.
Well, and it's funny because it's similar how you say, oh, I was watching them making beats and that kind of made me want to make beats, or I was watching them rap, you know, and it's probably the same where like I remember in that article they talk about like how everybody in the house edits and stuff, and I'm sure like they were watching you film and edit and went,
I want to
learn how to do that too.
It's a lot of that. It's a lot of just, you know, building off of one another.
So, okay, so then the crazy shit happens where Drake gets on a Makonnen song. You guys are homies. You guys have been collaborating already.
Right.
And, like, I had heard Wrist way before that happened, I think. Are you on the project that he put out with Tuesday and Don't Stop Molly No More and all that?
No.
But I feel like I'd heard of you before, like, I had already heard of you somehow before that, right?
So might have been because of the Nokia track that we had done.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so Nokia Flip. All right. Yeah. So you guys are already kind of loosely affiliated. He's not officially part of Awful, right?
No. He just, you know, we collaborated for like a good, that whole summer. Really.
Yeah. And then when he hops on the Drake song, I feel like that broke the shit wide open for you guys.
It honestly did.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy. Yeah.
So tell me about that.
I definitely appreciated that.
Yeah, tell me.
Thanks, Drake.
Yeah.
Thanks, Drake.
Yeah, thanks, Drake. Exactly. That's the crazy shit is like, I swear, 2 weeks before he got on the remix, right?
Right.
I was in the studio with Speak, that's the homie, and he's like, oh, you got to hear this. I'm like, what have you been listening to? Because that's part of my brain trust who like puts me onto new shit.
Yeah.
That's how I found out about you. And he's like, oh, you got to hear this dude, Makonnen. And I heard it, and he played something that was like kind of more of him crooning, and I was like, ah, it's tight. I don't really get it because I'm kind of old, you know? I get it. But then I heard like Don't Sell Molly No More, and then I heard Tuesday, and I was like, oh, yeah, now I fucking get it, right? And then literally like 2 weeks later, the Drake thing happens, and it's like the whole world knows about him. So then in the interim, people start going like, oh, he's associated with these people, Awful.
Of course.
Yeah, and so what happens? Does your door start getting knocked down or what?
Pretty much. It's just like, oh, okay, you're associated with, you know, like the automatic thing that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it happens frequently with a lot of people. I mean, like
Absolutely.
Collaborators of, you know, anybody else that's booming and bucking and bopping and shit like that.
Yeah.
But if you don't really have like a product there.
It was kind of perfect serendipity timing.
Basically, it was like
you had just put your product out.
Yeah, it was like my product is there already, and it's good.
Yeah, and it had him on it.
Digestible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. So how long was the wrist video online before it started going like ape shit?
What numbers would count as ape shit?
I feel like it's like at 500,000 now, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, it's sitting at 500,000 right now.
Yeah, so was it already gaining traction before
it
the Drake
It was like when it came out, it was already just going.
Yeah.
Like on its own, I think.
Yeah.
It was steady numbers. Like it was like large steady numbers like the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People were playing that out here, dude. Like before Mekonnen cracked, I think people were already playing it, you know, or like before the Drake thing. I mean, like the party that you played, the Ham on Everything party.
Yeah, yeah.
Adam and Romo, they were playing Wrist like at the right after it came out.
Oh, tight.
Yeah, yeah. And it was funny because at one point, right after I heard your project, I was texting Adam and I go, "Yo," I said, "Oh, dude, have you heard of this dude Father?" And he's like, "Nah, I haven't heard of him." And I said, "Dude, go download Young Hot Ebony. It's so tight." And then he was like getting through and he goes, "Oh yeah, Wrist." He's like, "We play this all the time at the parties. I didn't know that was his name," type of shit. So it's like the song was transcending already. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was very interesting. Yeah. So
it's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a small world, dude. Yeah. The internet makes the world very small.
It does.
Tell me about the life changes that have happened since all of this stuff is happening. Like,
I mean, it kind of comes around in my new year.
Yeah.
Cause like, I mean, you know, people have like, I feel like when I move, has always been my new year.
Okay.
So everything kind of led up to like me leaving that little sweet spot where I was at the barrio with the whole team and shit.
Uh-huh.
And now I, you know, live in a quaint little pad, you know, with the wife and kids. Not really the wife and kids. I don't have the wife and kids, but you know, nice building.
Yeah.
Lots of nice neighbors. I say hey in the morning and shit.
So
like
you're
that.
Like moving on up to the east side.
Yeah, yeah. Moving on up to the yeah. It literally happened just like this. Like, oh well, hey y'all, I gotta like not be in the goddamn shit fest. So yeah. I gotta clear my brain and shit.
Yeah.
And now like it's like I look up and it's like, oh, I'm in New York. Oh fuck. Now I'm in LA. Look at this. Where am I at?
Yeah.
And go back home, and then a couple days later I'm pretty sure I gotta go do some shows and shit now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, when did you get to quit your job? Like, when did you decide that?
The first trip to New York, I think.
Yeah.
I think it was like after the first trip to New York, I was like, you know, I think it was that performance at the Westway.
Uh-huh.
That I had to go do that. I was up there for a little minute, just running around a little bit.
Yeah.
Came back, then shit was just started going.
Yeah.
I think people were just hitting me up for shit, and I'm just like, whoa, I don't have enough time to go do this other shit. Quit.
Yeah.
And then the money just started, you know, working itself out. Like, oh, well, I mean, I can eat now off this. I can pay rent off this.
Right.
I can pay these bills off
this. Well, and it's funny because even at the same time, it probably feels a bit like a startup company where, like, yeah, you're making your money right now to where you can live, but it feels like maybe a lot more is about to come. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Basically,
it's like you right now you're finding the people that really want to invest almost.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, that's got to be a fucking cool place to be at, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's super chill. It's super chill. It's just making sure to, like, all right, now it's like, It's a new business.
Yeah.
It's like, gotta stay attentive at all times. It's
right.
Like, go to sleep. All right, wake up. What am I doing? Oh, I'm cultivating something, you know, cultivating this brand and getting it out there even more and more and more.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you ever worry, and this is like some sociological shit that I think about frequently. There are artists like Nas, and there are artists like Jay-Z, right? So those guys are both extremely famous, obviously. But if you look at their career trajectories, Nas made his best shit at the beginning. And he's always been trying to catch up to that best shit. You know what I mean? So technically, if you look at his kind of career trajectory, my opinion, it's kind of a downward curve. Jay-Z, on the other hand, he made a strong record at first, but his records continued to get better. And so his artistry was kind of growing as he got older, which is why he's still so successful and he's almost fucking 50, right? So do you ever worry that you already made your Illmatic? Because you can't live that way, obviously, but has it ever crossed your mind?
Right. You're right. I mean, I think it crosses every artist's mind. Like, wait, what if I just made the best shit of my life just now?
Right.
And I'm going, I need to chill. I don't know. I think about it every once in a while, but I don't really care. It's just like my life is changing, so I'm going to just create shit.
Yeah.
With it.
Is your life changing right now? Do you find it inspiring still?
Yeah, it's very still inspiring. It's like it's giving me even more shit to talk about, deeper shit.
Yeah.
Like now it's like, I don't know. Before it's like you have these certain problems.
Yeah.
And it's like once like, you know, the financially that all goes and gets washed away, it's like, oh, now I can dig a little deeper into myself and find these new issues that I need to work out.
Right.
And I feel like you work those out of the way. You get to another phase in your life, and it's like, oh, here's some more shit I need to work out. Because the problems never stop.
Right.
I'm never going to stop talking about them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and that's the whole thing is that some artists concentrate their lives so much on their problems that if they don't have problems, they're fucked.
Yeah.
You look at Eminem.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Once the money went away, like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, he just became this crazy, screaming old white person.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
And plus, I know when to chill. I don't know. I feel like I know when to chill. Because there's other shit that I want to do. You know? Yeah. I want to own shit. You know?
Yeah. I'm
trying to get an island.
Islands are kind of mad affordable.
Really?
Yeah. This is random, but so you know that girl Callie Uchis?
Yeah.
So we had her on the show. She's a real cool girl. And I saw her tweet something the other day about like, yo, anybody know how much an island cost? And it was kind of a joking tweet, but then I actually like went, I wonder how much islands do cost.
Yeah.
There's a fucking website that sells islands. Have you
really?
Ever been, yeah, have you ever been to it?
I need an island. Oh my God. I just want to build an island.
There's a website that sells islands and like anywhere in the world.
I'm gonna look into that.
Doug, do you know what the cheapest island is?
What's the cheapest island?
$700,000. That's it. That's not that much.
That's not that much in perspective at all.
It's a shithole. The island is fucked. It's like, I think it's out in like maybe somewhere by Brazil or something.
Right.
And it's like completely never, there's trees everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you buy a $700,000.
Now you got to give it resources.
Yeah. You put like $5 million into development probably. Yeah. But the point is, an island is attainable.
It's so attainable.
You know what
I'm
saying?
I can't wait. I'm trying to have like a little base of operation.
Yeah.
It's like, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Which is interesting because they say no man is an island, but it's funny that you want to buy your own island because it seems like you've always kind of been this alone guy. Is that what it is?
Is that what it is? No, but I want, like, with my island, I still want people to live there.
Yeah.
You know, I want to have, like, a whole little, you know.
But you want to be able to like, kick them the fuck out when you don't want them there anymore?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. A little encampment of just people. I'm just like, no, you can't come to my island. You can come to my island. She can come to my island. No, leave your husband. You can come to my island.
Yeah,
you
know, man. Like, so what's the plan for Awful now that things have gotten rolling?
Basically, to just get everyone on the same.
Who's next?
Who's next?
Yeah, who's next?
I don't know. I don't know who's next.
Who's dropping next?
Who's dropping next? Everyone's a little trifling.
Uh-huh.
That's Keith Charles.
Okay.
That I don't know if that's immediately next because you know, everybody works at their own kind of pace type thing.
Yeah.
Abra's been going in as of recent on some shit. She's been sending me some stupid fire shit. I feel like that's about to come real soon too.
Uh-huh.
And Slug is going to drop something else. Slug Christ.
Okay.
Yeah, Slug Christ just dropped a joint a minute ago. It's a long-ass title because he makes a long-ass title. So I can't remember it at this very second, but we can, you know, look that up later on.
Yeah.
But he just dropped some shit. That shit is tight.
Yeah.
And he's going to come up with some more. That was just kind of like a little preliminary.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're coming up on an hour already, so like this was easy and it was smooth. And so let's end it on you remember on – I don't know if you're a Wu-Tang fan, but they have a skit where he's like, it's like Method Man and Raekwon breaking down everyone in the crew. Why don't you give a quick summary of everybody that you're kind of associated with, just so people who aren't familiar can familiarize themselves with like what you guys are doing out there. So tell me about Awful Media and break down everybody in a brief little elevator pitch.
Oh my God, there's 14 people. What am I
there's
gonna do?
14?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, there's like 14 artists. What am I going to do?
Real quick, tell me about Slug Christ.
Slug Christ. Ah, oh, man.
He's a white dude.
He's a white dude. He's fucking crazy as hell.
He got a rat tail.
He has a fucking rat tail.
He used to have a mullet.
It used to be a mullet. Hey. It was a mullet before. Now it's a rat tail.
Yeah.
And man, goddamn Wavy King just out there. Slug just...
Kind of raps and sings or what?
Raps, sings, wails, cries.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of that.
Tell me about Ethereal.
Ethereal. Fucking goddamn Demon King. Coming for it. Motherfucking Riveting.
Okay.
Out here with the goddamn shits, man. I don't even know... Ethereal out here going crazy. He out here, once the shit got booming and bucking, he was just like, fuck these video games.
Yeah. So he's working.
Yeah, he's at the crib going right now.
Okay.
Yeah, he just dropped the Cactus Jack joint.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got Lord Narf.
Lord Narf. Goddamn Maggot Brain Princess.
Female rapper.
Yeah. Adorable. Everybody loves Narf.
Yeah.
She's a wild child.
Okay.
Honestly. She is... I can't even say things.
Yeah.
She's out here doing shit I can't talk about.
Okay.
Right now, you know.
Does she have a project out?
Yeah. For the Funky.
Okay.
Yeah. For the Funky's out right now.
Is Key? Is that one of you guys?
Keith?
No, Key.
Key?
Yeah.
Fat Man Key? No, not Fat Man Key.
Key with an exclamation point. That's
Key,
not...
No. Key is not.
Oh, he's just like featured on kind of shit.
Yeah, he'd be on shit with me. And,
okay.
And, like,
I wasn't sure if he was part of the clique or not. Who else you got?
Let's see. Playboi Carti is the youngest member.
How old is he?
Playboi Carti is 19 right now.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He's going off.
Okay.
I can't wait for him to drop some more shit.
Who else?
We got to talk about Slug Christ, Rich Post Slim.
Okay, you know, Rich Post Slim, yeah.
He's featured on the Brawl EP we just did together. That shit crazy. Okay. Oh my God. I want that to go up more. I want to start performing that, so he has to actually start getting on these, you know, these tours and fucking shows with me and shit.
Yeah. 14's a lot, man.
God damn it. It's like I have a hell of kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you
and be like, damn, who, oh,
so I right, think I think right, the
Jimmy?
Yeah, exactly. Timmy, Jimmy, Eddie. No, so Eddie? I think if there's one takeaway from that, it's that like
you Archibald Slim.
You guys, yeah, Archibald Slim. There you go. That's another one. You guys have a deep roster.
Yeah,
and you guys are a group of friends that are being very prolific right now and putting right. out a lot of shit. And so, if you guys listening are interested in like what the next wave is, this is one of them. Like I know that a lot of people tuned in for the Sesh Hollow Water Boys, and like this is kind of it's like a Atlanta version of what they've got going on. Like there's a big following garnering, everybody's working hard, everybody's working together. So if you guys are interested in those kind of movements, like maybe reminiscent of like what was happening with Odd Future a few years ago, that type of shit, where it's a bunch of friends working together and being creative, this is a new thing that you guys can get into. And yo, man. Thank you so much for coming in.
Hell
I appreciate
yeah.
it.
This is cool.
Yeah, tell the people where they can find you online as we're going out.
You can find everything about me and follow me on Tumblr.
Tumblr?
Of all things. Wow. Yeah. But I mean, it's my .com too. FatherAintShit.com.
FatherAintShit.com.
Yeah.
At FatherAintShit on Twitter.
At FatherAintShit on Twitter.
And if you're trying to send them filthy Snapchats, where's that at?
Bad father on Snapchat.
Bad father on Snapchat. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure there's all sorts of filthy.
Oh, and Lurk got on Instagram. Lurk. People can't really find that one because I just it's really my it's like my Lurk account.
So okay,
on there just kind of like. Mm,
so you're just in there trying to slot in the DMs like, hey, like,
what's up? You know,
you ever heard Instagram of you ever DMs. Heard that song Wrist? Yeah.
Hey, I'm on that.
Yeah, exactly.
My song. That's my song.
All right, so father.
Don't screen cap this.
Yo. Yo, that's so real. Don't hey, it's like, hey, girl, I think you're pretty, but don't screen cap this. Hey, so yeah, FatherAintShit.com at FatherAintShit. My name is Lee. Most of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. You can follow my man behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery at I Am Database, base with two S's. Thank you, Ben Shim. What else? kindaneat.net where everything is wrapped up in a pretty package, and youtube.com/thatskindaneat where we're gonna see Father perform. Are you gonna do Young Hot Ebony?
Oh yes.
Yeah, okay, so you're gonna see him perform Young Hot Ebony. Oh for sure. She locomotive. She tried to go. I love that song. I'm very happy about this. I'm a fan of this record. YouTube.com. Oh, yeah. You can follow us as a unit on Twitter at That's Kinda Neat. Facebook.com/kindaneat. And nobody's listening at this point, and that's fine, but
yeah.
Yeah, this was kind of neat. Thank you guys.